Now that the cipher has been dealt with, let us prepare ourselves for worship. As Jamie, you're going to tell us what you're playing.
Hello. Today I'll be playing a piece by Louis Vian. It's called his Pastoral.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Tere koto te whara o akta Unitarians. Tere koto nam marahirin. No mai haramai ki te hui a te rā ne. Haramai ki te kopapa o te rā. Ko Clay Nelson toku igua. No reira tere koto Tera koto katoa. Welcome. Welcome all to our church fano and visitors to this place of worship, virtual and physical, made sacred by Octave Unitarians and our new organ for 122 years. Welcome to those joining us remotely, and to those here in the building, and to those watching the recording at another time. For those here in person, you're invited to join us for a cup of coffee or tea immediately following the service. It is our sacrament of hospitality. Over a long life, I often think about the choices I have made or were made for me. How have they determined who I am now? How have they pointed me in a positive direction or made my life a personal hell? They have surely done both. Has my life followed a script with little input for me? Or has it been totally of my own making? These are the musings I'd like to explore this morning. My opening words are one of my favorite poems, The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. You may have heard it before. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass and the one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down? Who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes? Now she lifts her pale forearm and thoroughly washes her feet, face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is your plan to do with your one wild and precious life? We kindle this flame as a symbol of the light we would keep glowing in our lives, of appreciation for those who differ, loving kindness for those who suffer, esteem for all who remind us of our heritage and calling as agents of the Most High. Well done. Thank you, Paul. And now I invite you to say with me our congregation's covenant. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is the sacrament, and service is prayer. to dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony. Thus do we covenant with each other and with our God. I've chosen as my title for today's random musing is, are you living the life you chose, or are you living the life that chose you? Rachel never seems to remember the lyrics from every song, including the Brady Bunch, she has ever heard, especially if it's by ABBA. But occasionally, me, not so much, especially if it's by ABBA, but occasionally, a lyric will reach out and grab me and not let go. This is true of a refrain from a Jason Isbell song, Are You Living the Life You Chose, or Are You Living the Life That Chose You? Long before Isbell sang it, his question haunted me. By this point in my life, countless choices have been required. Each has had consequences, both positive and negative, and each has raised Isbell's question. There are, of course, a whole host of choices I had no part in. I didn't choose the color of my skin, my gender, sexual orientation, country of birth, family, socioeconomic class, birth order, or religious upbringing, if any. These are some of the most obvious. I think of these as cards I was dealt in life. Learning how to play them was the task. Some were a royal flush, creating opportunities that enhanced my life choices. And some were a bust, requiring a bluff that all was well when it certainly was not. But these choices are not the ones I find most troubling. I wasn't responsible for them. It is the choices that have been wholly mine that Isbell's questions demand an answer. Sometimes it's not giving an answer that's hard, but not being able to see the choices available. When I was beginning my last year at university, I was clueless as to what I'd do after graduation. My problem was I liked almost everything I studied, but couldn't see what I was going to do with my wide interest. During this time, Dad happened to be in town and suggested lunch. I didn't have high expectations that he would give me any answers. He'd always made me work it out. Damn him. Over lunch, I shared my quandary. Dad observed that, from what he could see, I was a B-plus student, even though I didn't go to class or study, except for the last 2 weeks of the quarter. What did I do the other 7 weeks? I shared my passion for improving campus life, building community, protesting the Vietnam War, social injustice, and seeking to empower fellow students to make the world a better place. I remember my father smiling and asking if I knew that schools offered graduate degrees in my passion. called Student Affairs. The conversation ended with him saying that the answer to my quandary may be simply following my passion. I immediately went to the library. That's what we did pre-Google, for those who have no idea what I'm talking about, to research this choice I had been blind to. Sure enough, some very prestigious schools offered such degrees. I wrote down the pertinent information to apply to the top three. The best and most competitive of the three, Ohio State, accepted me, granting me free tuition, free housing, free books, employment for 2 years. Their generosity certainly had nothing to do with my grades, but came instead from the recognition of my passion. When I look back, the choices that have been clearly been mine have always been about following my passion. Those I have no memory of regretting, not just because mine led to a very successful career working with students in higher education, but because I love the work. If we're given a choice, we all want to choose the life we live. But that requires finding our passion. Dr. Carl Greger, UU minister and trained spiritual director, says it begins by slowing down and asking yourself if you're living in a way that is in a right relationship with yourself, with other people, and with this one planet, or if you feel called to live differently. He offers a Buddhist tradition to help us make a discernment. Ask yourself if the life you're living is cultivating 10 qualities that lead to awakening. Generosity, renunciation, wisdom, strength, effort, truthfulness, determination, loving kindness, equanimity. Do they do more than the 10 fetters? Self-identity, doubt, clinging, craving, ill will, attachment, comparison, restlessness, and ignorance. Or from the Christian tradition, is the way you live cultivating what is known as the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If these positive qualities are missing, or if their opposites are present in abundance, then we are invited to make some essential discernment about positive choices and living in right relationships. In my case, when my discernment unexpectedly led me into the ministry, I was held back by my fetters. I had to let go of the notion that I had to be holy and pious to be a minister. That was never going to happen. And it certainly was. I had to let go of beliefs that I'd held since childhood, which no longer made sense to me. I had to let go of my self-doubts and honor my honest doubts about almost everything the church taught. I had to stop avoiding the hard work of constructing a spiritual life that was meaningful to me, even if the institutional church considered me a heretic.
unfettered, I and my heretical passions excelled, graduated with honors at the top of my class. But that is far too much about me. TMI, as they say. Faith communities must find their passion as well. They have to answer Isabel's refrain. If life has chosen the congregation, it may feel positive, familiar, comforting, helpful, expected, and enough. It is also true if life has chosen the congregation, it may feel negative, exhausting, disappointing, infuriating, and insufficient. A congregation is fettered if they have lost sight of their purpose, if they have chosen to remain the same, if they fear being disruptive when required to promote justice, if they're no longer generous, if they no longer consider hospitality a sacrament, if they forsake a determination to be a loving community, offering kindness to all, if love, joy, and peace no longer resonate through all they do. Sadly, when we give up making our own choices about how to live, we lose our passion. Then we might as well close our doors, for our death is inevitable. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, Yahweh tells the Hebrews, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Then move on to Mary Oliver's question. What does this congregation plan to do with our one wild and precious life? Amen. And now let's hear some special music.
My second piece will be testing the organ's limits for the first time. Oh, sorry, hello. The second piece I'll be playing will be testing the organ's limits. See how loud it can play. I'll be playing a prelude by Bach in B minor.
Thank you.
Wow, Jamie. Please join me in the words for extinguishing our talent. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. My closing words. We have a calling in this world to honor diversity, to respect differences with dignity, and to challenge those who would forbid it. The world aches for us to join together and bring about healing, toil for justice, and produce ever-increasing love. This is our calling. Go forth and act accordingly. Ah, Jamie, well, share a poster.
My final piece is by Hubert Parry, and it's a chorale prelude on the hymn Eventide.
Thank you.
For those who have been around for a while, before coffee and tea is served, we meet in groups of about five to discuss a question related to the talk. And everybody's supposed to talk and share your names and not try and make a group of 5, 10, okay? So here's your question. What passion do you have that helps you choose your life to live?